follow suit. Happy Mother's Day. And for your Mother's Day, I will not tell a story about you. My family's here, so I can't tell a lot of family stories, which is a loss for all of us, a gain for them. And since I'm spending the afternoon with them, I think that's a win. We're in the middle of a series called The Epic Life. And when we were sitting and praying, and Lord, what do you want us to speak on? Something began to stir in my heart about helping us dream again. And we have a tendency to settle. Maybe the hardness of life, maybe the sufferings, maybe trials, maybe just life. You just forget. And when wanting to stir the dream of God and the hope for the future again, and we came across this concept, the epic life. If you didn't listen to Beatty's message last week, get on the website and listen to it. It is amazing. I found myself in tears most of the message and repenting most of the week about how little of God I've been satisfied with. And challenged by that. So, Beatty, thank you for that. This morning, I want to talk about new frontiers. We are constantly, as we're going to look at, being pushed out into new arenas, new environments. I thought it right to quote one of the founding mothers. You hear a lot about the founding fathers of our nation, but one of the founding mothers, Abigail Adams, in a famous letter she penned to her son, John Quincy. She was the wife of John Adams, the second president, and the mother of John Quincy Adams, the sixth president. And she had urged her son to go to France with her father, with his father and their brother. And she's writing this letter to him, a fairly famous letter, and this is what she said. "These are the times in which a genius would wish to live. It is not in the still calm of life or the repose of a Pacific station that great characters are formed. The habits of a vigorous mind are formed in contending with difficulties. All history will convince you of this. And that wisdom and penetration are the fruits of experience, not the lessons of retirement and leisure. Great necessities call out great virtues. When a mind is raised and animated by scenes that engage the heart, then those qualities which would otherwise lay dormant wake into life and form the character of the hero and the statesman." Now, I like that. Like that about the reality that it's these times that, as the famous quote Thomas Paine said, these are trying times. And it's in these times, you'd have to be a hermit not to realize that we are in critical times in this nation and in the nations of the world. But like a good mother, she didn't stop there. She goes on to finish her letter. "I cannot fulfill the whole of my duty towards you if I close this letter without reminding you of a failing which calls for a strict attention and watchful care to correct." Isn't that your mother? She's like, "Man, you need to change the world. It's for these times you were created." Now, about this issue, you must do it for yourself. You must curb that impetuous of temper for which I have frequently chided you, but which properly directed may be productive of your good, of great good. I know you capable of these exertions. With pleasure, I observe my advice was not lost upon you. If you indulge yourself in the practice of any foible or vice in youth, it will gain strength with your years and become your conqueror." Some good advice for mothers this morning, isn't it? And what I want to talk this morning about is new frontiers on two levels. One, Abigail Adams so eloquently said, is that our times call for them. We need to venture out into new areas. The difficulties of today, the trials of life, they demand a void, someone to step into those and say, hey, here's an answer. But there's another frontier, the frontier of the heart and the soul, that we don't like to go. We don't like to venture into these areas, maybe of our past, maybe of our weaknesses, that are just as wild and unruly as the frontier out there. And so this morning, I want to look at a scripture in Joshua chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. It says this, in those days, there was no king. I'm sorry, I'm in Judges. Doesn't sound right. There you go. Then the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. The land lay subdued before them. There remained among the people of Israel seven tribes whose inheritance was not yet been apportioned. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, how long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? It's amazing that Israel in its history had come out of great bondage and captivity. Moses, a type of Christ, had left Egypt and led the people of Israel through the Red Sea, the waters of baptism. They had gotten to the edge of the Promised Land, but because of their lack of faith, wandered in Israel in the desert for 40 years. And then there was a transition of leadership, and Joshua now is taking Israel into the Promised Land, and just the same amount of signs and wonders and great power God exuded to deliver essentially all of the major governments in the land. Israel had routed them. The land was subdued before them. There was no infrastructure left to resist them, but there were still issues. There were still problems. There were still areas. And what a picture of our own hearts. That Christ, when we invite him in, he does a miracle. He changes us. He makes us reborn. He does what we could not do for ourselves, and yet there is much of our hearts unconquered. I remember when I was a college student and Jesus enraptured me. He grabbed me. He got my attention. He came in power and changed, began to change my life. And once I invited him in, he didn't stay in the foyer or the living room or the kitchen. He started wandering around into the closets and the dark recesses of my soul. And there was depression that he began to deal with. And fear was a great giant in my life. And then I got married and I realized I'm selfish, chauvinistic. And so God began to slowly conquer these frontiers of my own soul. Then I had children. I didn't even realize I was angry. I was a really nice guy most of the time. And then I had anger, and into these frontiers, God would woo me. Even this week, I feel God saying, Blake, there's areas of your heart you won't go. No, I won't. I won't go there. And God is pulling me and prodding me into these frontiers of my own soul that need him. And I dare say I'm not alone. That God is wooing us into the areas of our heart where we need the gospel, we need Christ to come in. But it isn't just inside of us, is it? That Jesus has a plan in the world. I remember as a college sophomore, Jesus telling me, you're going to be a campus missionary. Okay? I'll do that. I want you to reach out to your peers. I don't want you to move off of campus as soon as you'd like. You got to stay on campus. But not many students like the residence halls, right? After your freshman year, they make them do it now. You have to stay. But I just felt like the Lord said, you need to stay. You need to stay on campus. You need to minister to freshmen. I didn't want to do that. But God was forcing me into new frontiers. I remember a couple years ago, Michelle and I, we lived out in Winterville. And God began to put on our hearts that if we're going to do campus ministry and minister to students, now we have to live near students. And so that meant moving from Winterville right over here, near campus. Because we felt like the Lord said, we want your home, our home to be a place of ministry where students can not just see us, but see our family. Well, that took time. I think we showed our house 54 times before it sold. You got young kids, that's a lot of cleaning. Because that can change in about an hour. Complete destruction. But this was God calling us into new frontiers. See, God's always messing with our stuff. He's messing with the frontiers of our hearts, and he's pushing us into the frontiers of the world to be the change. So this morning, very briefly, I want to look at three reasons for us to venture into new frontiers. Three reasons for us to venture into new frontiers. Number one, God designed us for new frontiers. I have a dog. His name is Vanderbilt. He's a Weimaraner. If you know anything about Weimaraners, they're bred to be like the universal bird dog. They point, they flush, and they retrieve. And typically pheasants, or you'll see them in the Midwest, Ohio, and Iowa, and they'll hunt with these dogs. And I don't hunt, so Vanderbilt is a good dog. He's a running companion. But it's funny that it's hardwired in him to hunt. And so when we go out for the first few years, when I didn't have kids, we'd go out a lot, and I didn't even need to put him on a leash. He'd stay by. I was around labs. They just never did that. You let them out, and they just run for days, right? But Vanderbilt would stay close because it was ingrained in him. It's his DNA to stay close to the owner, the leader, because that's when birds fall from the sky, right? And so he's nearby. I don't hunt, so when I'm around the house, if I get on all fours or there's racket, like I'm paying attention to something on the ground, he's right at my side. And we've trained him to attack spiders, large water bugs, and camel crickets, because those are the kind of things. We have a big wooded area in our neighborhood, and so they come in. And so he hates them. They don't taste good, but he will attack them because it's in him. Because I want them. And I'll point to it, and he'll go attack it. He'll kill it, shake it, and leave it alone. And then I'll go pick it up. Throw it away. Good dog. Good dog. He just loves it. He loves it. So what's ingrained in him is to do that. I didn't train him to do that. He does it because it's in his DNA. When we look in Genesis chapter 1, even before the fall, we see that God created male and female. He created them. He breathed breath into them. And the Bible says that he made a garden. I mean, imagine the vastness of God's creation in the earth. How amazing and wild it was. And then he creates a little garden, and he puts man and woman in the middle. He says this, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. In our very DNA, in the way God designed us, we were meant to take what was good, which was a relationship with God, unhindered by sin, perfect communication, in this community between man and woman and God, and to expand that into new horizons, new frontiers. It's our DNA. It's what we were created to do. God designed us to take new frontiers. It's in us. Why should we, like Israel, not settle? We got the tabernacle, we got the community, we just want to be together, and God's saying, you got to go into the land. You got to face the frontiers of the heart. You got to face the frontiers out there. And in fact, it's what you were designed to do. I designed you that way. To take what's good in here and take it out there. And take it in here. God designed us to take new frontiers. Now, I have some chickens in my backyard. Got lots of things at my house. And I have a bird dog. You see that? See that lack of thinking things through? Well, I have trained my dog slowly with only one casualty. I can let my dog out in the yard and he will just prance around the chickens. Just won't even bother him. Even though it's what he's designed to do, he won't do it because he was trained not to. Now, how many of us, even though we are designed to face new frontiers and challenges, we won't go there because we've been trained not to? It's in us. You just put us in the right position. Blake's away, and the chickens are out, and the dog will play, right? But we are trained not to do it. God designed us to take new frontiers. He didn't just design us to do it. God died for us to take new frontiers. Let's look at Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, famous scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom, liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Starts here with saying, there's good news. Jesus quotes this in the Gospel of Luke, saying, this is about me. Jesus would come on the scene, and through the good news of the gospel, that Jesus did what we could not do for ourselves, that we were lost, not only lost, not only maimed, but dead in our sin. And Christ, through the gospel, made us alive. But he didn't stop there. He doesn't just want you to be forgiven. He wants you to be set free. He wants you to break the chains that bound you. Some of us in here are prisoners of our own making. The own decisions we've made, and yet he wants to break you free. Some of you are captives because of things that you didn't even do. Just the situations of life and things that happen to you, you're captive. And God wants to set you free. That's the gospel. That is what he died for, that we would face the frontiers of our own soul, that he might set you free. You've been trained a certain way, but you don't have to live that way. He's come to set us free. To grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful headdress instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. That they may be called oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That God would take us and not just forgive us, but that the gospel would take root in our souls and begin to grow into the frontiers and the wild nature of our heart and begin to bring order and beauty and peace and joy and the fruits of God. He died for it. It goes on to say, and they shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. That God would do something so significant and so powerful in us, it would change us to such a degree that he would want to use us to bring change in the world. I mean, isn't this the gospel? That the gospel would come in and change us. And that God would use us to change the world. That in Christ, there's so much love, there's so much power in the truth of the gospel that it knows no bounds and it will not be tamed and it will conquer our hearts and it will conquer the world. The love of Christ, the new frontier. So not only are we designed to take new frontiers, Christ died that we would take new frontiers, that we would have the courage to face our past. Have the courage to venture into a new arena. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's a new career. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's somewhere in the city. Maybe it's to do something that you know God's calling you to do. He's calling you into that new frontier, and you're scared. Well, he's designed you to do it. He's died for you to face it. And finally, he's destined us for it. God designed us for new frontiers. He died that we might take new frontiers. And finally, he's destined us to do it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is the beauty of the gospel, that you cannot save yourself. There's nothing good you can do. Even come to church every week and even do all these good things that you know to do will not save your soul. Christ said, it's by grace you have been saved. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. God's destined you to take new frontiers. He has created you to do good works. I think of, how many of y'all have seen the Lego movie? Anybody? It's over here. It's a great movie, isn't it? If y'all haven't seen it, you're missing out. But the Lego movie, awesome. There comes a couple, in this grand adventure of the Lego movie, there comes a point, a couple times in the movie where there's seemingly, there's no way out. And Batman, who's always, you know, the brains of the operation, he is understanding the reality that we're stuck. There's no way out of this. And he'll typically say something like, it's not like a ship's going to come out of nowhere and save us. And as he's saying it, the ship comes from behind out of the sea. Oh my gosh! And delivers them. And a couple scenes later, it's not like we need a hyperdrive. It's not like a hyperdrive's going to step out of, and all of a sudden this hyperdrive, this vehicle with a hyperdrive comes up. Oh my gosh! There it is. And here is the destiny of God, that he goes before us. Oh, you need that? There it is. There's no way I can face it. Oh, here it is. And so it's not just what we need when we're following God, but it's that he provides it.
Yes.
I found myself in situations I never thought I would be prepared. And God has prepared me for it. I didn't want to be prepared, right? Preparing was part of the problem, right? It was part of the pruning, as we've talked before, but God doing something in us. Just realizing that Jesus has designed us to venture into areas of our soul and into the world. It is in our DNA. And that he died to redeem it, because we have become twisted with sin. We have become messed up. And Christ and the gospel has not only forgiven us, but given us the tools to heal broken hearts, to set captives free. And finally, he's destined us to walk in them. Good works. And so my challenge for us this morning is, Lord, what new frontiers are you calling me into? What things are you stirring in my heart that I've put aside, I've buried, and God is unearthing? Hey, maybe I need you to go back to school. Maybe I want you to venture out to talk to that neighbor that you've systematically avoided. We do that, don't we? Where's the new frontier in your workplace that God is saying, yeah, I want you to venture out? Step out. Maybe it's at your school. God is going before you to prepare that hyperdrive right when you need it. But he's waiting for you to go. God has designed us, died for, and destined us for new frontiers. Will we walk in them? It's interesting that what we're going to need to leave this place in Joshua, it's kind of a peculiar text that I read in the beginning, that Israel is surrounding this tabernacle. And the tabernacle in Israel was the presence of God. It was the very place that God would visit Israel. They would sacrifice, they would wash, they'd have the showbread there, they'd have the lamp, and it would be at the center of the camp. And there's a real interesting description of this in Numbers. Anytime you camped, God said, this is how I want you to actually camp. The tabernacle would be set up, and it would set up the tribes of Israel around it. And if you look at the details, it's one of those, the book of Numbers, right? Lots of numbers. And so it's not one of them that you kind of dig in. Lord, what do you want to speak to me today? You know, from Numbers. You know, the mules and the lambs, you know. But here, he starts going into the numbers, and what you begin to realize is that he breaks the tribes up in 12. The Levites are around the temple, and then he breaks them up. And if you look at the numbers, you realize that there's an equal number of people to the right and to the left, a shorter number at the top, and then a longer number at the bottom. And even in the camping of the tabernacle, God is displaying his design for all of creation, that at the cross, right where heaven meets earth, the presence of God would step in. And it's out of that place that we can take new frontiers. It's not in our own strength. There's nothing in Blake that can deal with that anger and that insecurity and that bitterness. There's nothing in me to change that. But there is something in the presence of God. When God steps in from heaven into earth and he took on our sin and forgiven me for all of that, I bet I can forgive for this. So when I'm struggling with insecurity and I don't know who I am and what God's called me to do, and then I look back when he purchased me from that and who I used to be and made me his son, I'm going to have to settle in and face these giants because God is with me. The only way we're going to be able to face new frontiers, the only way we're going to be able to take the land that Christ is calling us, designed us, died for, and destined us to take is with the presence of Christ. It's realizing that we don't have it in ourselves. It's only in Christ that we're made alive. We can face these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, that you didn't just redeem us and forgive our sins, but you stepped in to your creation. You displayed your unstoppable, your never giving up, your always and forever love. You loved us when we did not deserve to be loved. You came to us when we were running away and you tracked us down. Said, this one I love. My son, my daughter. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you didn't just leave us there, but have filled us with your spirit to walk into a promised land that we might experience heaven on earth. The peace of God. The joy that passes understanding. The power to say no to what previously we could not say no to. And you're calling us into new frontiers, new areas of our soul and in the world. With every head bowed this morning, if you're here today and you're saying, Blake, I am not right with God. Jesus is not the king of my heart. He's not my passion, my reason. He is not like Israel at the center of my camp. And I want him to be. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. It's time for me to get right with God. It's time for me to invite Jesus into the center of my life. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? Father, I thank you for your amazing love. Thank you, Father, that you have not rescued us to keep us the way we are, but to change us and to join you on mission to start changing the world. Lord, help us. Lord, I pray that you would visit us this week, that we would take the time and just write this question out. Jesus, what frontier are you calling me into? What frontier of my soul are you asking me to face? And what frontier are you asking me to step out into this year? Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name.